Sure.
All right, so we're recording. All right, great. Here we are.
Yeah. Well, we could talk about Amazing Spider-Man 2 because I finally saw it.
Oh my gosh! Thank God, Richard. Please.
I'm late to the party, but I'm early to leave.
Oh yeah, and you got my my text that they're planning to try and sign Ryan Philippe to 4 more of these.
Wait, I'm sorry, I missed that. I thought it said Mark Webb, but you said Ryan Philippe.
Well, what's his name? Andrew Garfield. Sorry.
Yeah, Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
You said. Don't get me excited about Ryan Philippe becoming Spider-Man.
Oh, sorry. No.
I felt like it was 1998 all over again.
Andrew Garfield. Sorry.
Damn. That's too sad. That's sad.
But yeah, they're trying to sign him to 4 more.
Oh, really? Because, like, I just read that article about how this movie was supposed to make $1 billion, and it's not going to get anywhere near that.
Yeah, that is what's generally termed a rumor, so whether that turns out to be
true. Well, I would generally term that bad business.
Oh, no. Like, the Spider-Man 3, based on the amount of returns we're getting so far, will definitely make under $200 million domestic.
Oh yeah, I mean, it'll barely squeak to $200 million.
Well, this
and rightfully so, because it's a travesty.
Oh no! So, start at the beginning, Richard. How much do you hate this movie?
Well, in the beginning there was nothing, and then there was "Let there be web," and then web shot out and took me in the face, and then my head crashed against concrete. Busted it open and brain was everywhere. So that's how I felt about the movie. I felt like Gwen Stacy being murdered by Spider-Man.
All right, well, you know, Richard, before we go any further, what would you say was something you liked about the movie?
Well, you know, I feel bad for Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone because they were in a better movie, but that movie was never finished. And so they decided to, like, reshoot a lot of that movie that never got finished with Jamie Foxx stuff. And I think they had an old first draft of Batman Forever lying around. And they wanted to go green. So they just took, like, pencils and scribbled out Edward Nygma and put in Jamie Foxx's name. I don't even remember it because, you know why? I don't fucking care.
Well, at least Jim Carrey had something to do. In this movie, Jamie Foxx beats on Spider-Man, gets arrested, sits in jail for an hour, escapes, and then beats on Spider-Man before getting killed, and that's his role.
And why does he have a rubber suit on if he's pure energy?
I don't know. I think he took it from the Gimp because he liked it. He went to that
Gimp.
Yeah,
well, he took it from the Gimp, but then, like, well, the problem is he turns into energy and then he goes through the wires and then he reappears with the rubber suit on.
Right.
After turning from energy. I mean, I guess. And he looked like Dr. Manhattan. I just kept thinking about Watchmen every time Jamie Foxx started to float. I was thinking of a somewhat better movie, but way less blue penis.
Right. Well. That said, yeah, that kind of annoyed me though that he did that like outfit on and then what was it? Yeah, because they have like that monitor on his head that somehow falls off when this ball of energy is killed, which made no
right.
sense to me.
I did not like that part because it was like a stupid sight gag. So basically, he has this thing on his head that's not as attached to his head. But he's pure energy, so he reshapes himself whenever he wants to. But this thing's a physical object that isn't electricity, so why does that stay on his head throughout the movie?
Yeah, like, I was willing to buy into the rubber suit, like, maybe through electricity, comic book science, he can kind of, like, put it over his body.
No.
I'll give you that, Richard. I will. But I thought the idea of a piece of him falling off once that electricity disappears made no sense to me. That's where I kind of lost it. I was like, that's dumb.
Well, and the other bad part was, okay, so Gwen Stefani makes a big deal to be there, and she goes, I know the schematics better than you. I know exactly how this thing works.
Oh, don't and then, fucking start
and
there.
Then
oh, my
Peter Jackson goes, all right, then I'll need you. And then Emma Gwen Stefani goes running in there. Right. And it's basically a fucking button that she basically unlocks with a key from a dead security guard. So if the guard wasn't there, she'd be fucked. If Electro killed the security guard in another room, she'd be screwed because she couldn't get the master switch open. Because that's all it was. It was a button that you lift a plastic fucking latch, and then you push a button, and that's what got it. That's what did it. Spider-Man could have done that.
No, I hated that. Yeah, that was so ridiculous. It's like they're just trying to figure out a way to shoehorn her into that scene, and this is the best they could come up with.
This is really important. You don't understand buttons, Peter. Go watch a YouTube video of science stuff.
Ugh, I hated that too. He's so smart, but he needs a YouTube video to figure things out.
Well, I'm just upset that he wasn't using Bing.
Sure, Sony was too, or Microsoft, or whatever they paid last time.
I mean, shit, he was all over Bing last movie. This movie's using Google. That's just no loyalty to the brand.
No wonder Gwen died. She must have been so distraught over Bing.
Oh, and that killed herself. This movie felt like Transcendence. It was three different movies in one movie, and they didn't really line up at all with each other. And you have the Harry Osborn shit, which is like, what? What's going on? And then you have the Electro shit, which is like, what? What's going on here? And then you have the Emma Gwen Stefani and Peter Facinelli scenes. You know, like, this is really nice and sweet, and I like these guys. And then Paul Giamatti comes in, and you're like, what the fuck is this? It's just all over the place.
And the conspiracy stuff feels like another movie too, with the
right. And then you have like
Richard Parker, and the
you have the James Bond opening of another movie, which we never see.
Right, which was really totally unnecessary. Just for the tiniest bit of exposition, that's all you get out of that tiniest bit.
And it was all because he was downloading a program to a subway car. And I guess the computer, granted, this is supposed to be like 1992 or 1998 or something, and it's a laptop. Yeah. And every time the assassin closes the laptop and like laughs, ha ha ha, I stopped your program from downloading. And so it becomes this cat and mouse game of them opening up a laptop to finish the download. It just made me laugh the whole time.
Oh, it's so ridiculous. And the it's just absurd. Just absurd. Just the idea that these people don't have money. I mean, where do the Parkers get their money? He's got to be the guy in the suit or whatever.
That's like I don't even care anymore. I'm not going to see a third one. I'm done. Like this, I almost didn't go see this one, but I just kept hearing about how terrible it was, and I went and saw it. And I was just like, wow, it's pretty terrible.
Isn't it? Isn't it just awful? It's so bad.
It's pretty bad. And it's just, there's no action. It's fucking, not only is it just terrible, it's boring. Like, there's just no action to it. And then it ends with him, like, throwing a sewer top at the Rhino, which looks ridiculous, by the way. The Rhino suit, I was laughing the whole time. And I did like the part where the little kid comes down and goes, oh, Spider-Man, oh, it's going to kill you. And I just was like, oh, God. Well, and his accent was even Russian. I couldn't even recognize that.
It was awful.
I have no idea what that accent was.
I wanted that kid to get killed, though. Gosh, he was...
Oh, it would have been better. They killed Gwen. Why can't they kill a little bastard?
I mean, they needed him to die.
But the best part of the movie was... Not the movie itself, but a kid in the audience who said out loud at the end of the movie where Peter Parker's just standing at Gwen's grave for like 8 months straight. He goes...
Did you text me this? I forget if you
I did
this
text story. You this. Oh, yeah, yeah. And he goes, why is Peter Parker standing there for all winter? and I was like, exactly, kid. Exactly. And you know, the scary part is kids are going to be growing up. And this is going to be their Spider-Man, just like the prequels are their Star Wars. And it's like they're going to be so pussy-whipped, they won't know what a good movie is.
No, no, and it'll get worse with Star Trek 3 with that Bob Orci. I don't say his name right, but I don't care.
Bob, I Orci? Do things Orci? For money.
Yeah.
Bob Horsey.
Bob Horsey.
Bob Horsey.
Oh my god.
And whatever. I mean, I can't blame the guy, but at the same time, he's terrible. I mean, they just all they do is basically cut and paste what the producers and directors ask them to do. So I guess that's good for job security, but you know what? At the end of the day, nobody's going to make enough money to make this movie work because it's already pretty it's in the shitter, but domestically, it's not going to crack $200 million. No way.
Domestic, it will. It will. It'll.
I don't think it will. I think it'll scooch. It'll be 202 tops.
No, yeah, I picture it being like, and you probably don't remember, but it was Superman Returns.
Right.
I remember when that made $200 million. It was one of those things where it was like several weeks later, and I read about it, and I was like, oh, that movie's still out? Like, okay.
Well, no, Sony will buy $1 million worth of tickets and push that number up over that cliff, and then they'll be like, oh, it made $200 million domestic. But that's even nowadays, that's just part, that's paltry, that's nothing. It's just, it's a terrible amount.
Oh, no. For this movie to have any kind of real credentials, it needed to do minimum 250 at the very least.
Well, the first one only did 262.
Yeah.
The first one only did 262 domestic. So this one's going to do 202. Let's just be generous here. And overseas, I mean, if it...
It's doing better. I think you have to admit, it is doing better overseas.
It's doing better, but it's having a huge drop-off because
Godzilla's coming out. Well. Yeah.
Godzilla's killing it. And which you saw that, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about that, yeah.
Well, you talk about it now. Why not? Put it in this one. Shoehorn it in.
All right, sure. It'll make it shorter. It's Spider-Man. Fine.
So you thought it was boring.
Yeah, and thankfully Ed has seen this movie, so I can spoil the fuck out of it and not worry about ruining Ed's day. So, Ed, don't worry about it. I'm going to ruin the whole movie for you and for everyone else, but you saw it, so who cares?
Good job.
Thank you, Ed, for seeing this movie. but no, so let's see. Juliette Binoche, she dies probably about 10 minutes into the movie.
Why even cast her?
I know. I didn't get it either.
Give it to somebody that's brand new and needs the money and needs the exposure, but no, we'll give it to some old French bitch.
Then you've got Bryan Cranston. I think his wig was probably the scariest part of the movie. That thing was frightening.
Was it Shatner's wig from Star Trek V?
Shatner's wig was terrifying. Better. All right, that was better. That was a better
My wig on Bryan Cranston's head. He was bald for the Breaking Bad.
I don't even think they used any glue. They just kind of like sat it on his head, and they're like, "Well, this will work." This is
whatever. Fine. They're gonna look at the fucking lizard. Fuck you, Brian. Just act your way through it.
But okay, so Bryan Cranston, he lives through the initial explosion of the plant, and there's this monster that pops up later. He lives through that barely, and you get the scene between him and his son as he's dying. His son is played by Aaron Kickass Johnson guy, Quicksilver, but nothing happens in that scene. It's totally pointless. He could have died earlier, and there would have been nothing for it. It's just wasted. It was so weird because I thought, okay, they're gonna do something with this scene. They're gonna prove me wrong because I was ready for it to suck. And then Bryan Cranston, he's in a gurney. He gets on the helicopter with his son, and they don't even have a moment. He's just like, go home to your family as he's dying, and then he croaks and he's dead, and that's it.
Is there a scene where he is in his underwear?
No.
Well, then that's the only Bryan Cranston I love.
Right. I mean, they all play these really cookie cutter characters. There's the mad scientist, who's Bryan Cranston. There's Dr. Exposition, played by Ken Watanabe.
I am Ken Watanabe Godzilla.
There's a damsel in distress played by Elizabeth Olsen.
Is she in her underwear?
No.
Oh, boo.
And it sucks because like Bryan Cranston gets caught in this like quarantine zone in Japan. Aaron Johnson, first day back on leave, has to go get him, and Liz Olson doesn't even try and continue boning. She's just like, yeah, you can go. It's fine. See you later.
And it's so weird because they end up being brother and sister in Avengers 2.
Yeah, what a weird tie-in. It's a little strange.
There you go.
But one thing I was trying to figure out was the motivator for Godzilla, because Godzilla is basically the hero of the movie. He's trying to find these monsters and kill it. And my theory is this, because early in the movie, you see the two eggs, or whatever, that the monsters come from. Monsters, by the way, including Godzilla, are attracted somehow to nuclear radiation. It's like what they feed off of. So, that's one reason why they go after Bryan Cranston's nuclear plant, like, a couple minutes later. But anyway, so they find these eggs in this cave, but the cave also contains this really large skeleton. So my theory is that the skeleton was, like, Godzilla's kid or his woman, and these creatures had killed it and laid their eggs inside of it. And,
That's gross.
Yeah. And I thought, well, that makes at least sense why Godzilla is now trying to kill these things, like some sort of revenge story for him, I guess.
So it's essentially Taken.
Well, his lady is dead, so you know.
Well, it's like a better Taken. It's a better Taken.
It's a bigger Taken. How about that?
And is he very good? Is Liam Neeson Godzilla? Is that what they? Because you know, it's a big hit. Liam Neeson only stars in big hit movies, you know.
No, he is not Godzilla. Godzilla is not played by anybody. And
it's not a guy in a suit. Then it's not Godzilla.
No, and despite contrary reviews, I did not think that any of the fights looked particularly suit-esque.
Oh, really? Because that was kind of that was the one thing that made me raise an eyebrow in curiosity.
Yeah, I didn't get that impression watching it. I mean, maybe it's really kind of like very
Maybe you were just not paying attention because you were just too busy laughing at Neighbors.
Yeah, I was probably just too bored. But yeah, so. And for some reason, all the monsters go to San Francisco. Why?
Well, because it's fabulous.
Yeah. I mean, why is anybody's guess? It's never explained. But they do go there. And another bit that was weird was there's two eggs. One egg is apparently alive. The other egg is not, so they move it to this nuclear waste facility.
How's Hank Azaria in this movie?
Is he in this movie?
How's Matthew Broderick in this movie?
Okay. No, not particularly good.
Okay.
Yeah, he played one of the Mutos, one of the monsters. He did a motion capture for it. And
how was Puff Daddy's song Come Together, or Come With Me?
Well, you know, it actually ended up being a remake of the, or a remix, I should say, of Blue Oyster Cult song.
Ooh.
And I have to say the original is much better. So
okay.
Yeah. Sad to say.
And I'm just glad the Wallflowers got work with their wonderful cover of We Can Be Heroes.
Well, you know, that was actually done karaoke version by Godzilla as the credits were rolling.
Hey, that's a good cutscene.
Yeah, it worked pretty well actually. It kept people around. But yeah, so this monster, it's in this nuclear waste facility, so they're like, hey, we better check it out, make sure it didn't actually hatch, like we didn't think it was going to.
Is it Mothra, or which monster?
Oh, no, I mean, there have been like 28, 30 movies featuring Godzilla. Did they pick any monster that he's fought before? No, not one.
Well, they had to do a redesign so they can have a new toy out to sell.
I guess. I don't know. I mean, the monsters, though, were fine. They didn't detract from the movie. They weren't special, but they didn't really feel like a negative at all.
Did Idris Elba tell Godzilla, we are canceling the apocalypse?
No. Actually, he paged Godzilla.
How's that Japanese girl? Is she good in this movie? That Ryo Kukuchi?
You know, I barely even realized she was in the movie. She didn't register at all.
Oh, and Charlie Hunnam, he's not a very good actor. He's
no,
in this too, right?
No. Oh, yeah, he gets killed so fast. It's just
That's good, because he's annoying.
Yeah, actually, Ken Watanabe's helicopter lands on him. and it's
oh, that's good news.
Yeah, and all the confusion. So they're really trying to sell that as part of the storyline there.
And then Ken Watanabe ends up being Ra's al Ghul, right?
No, he's actually
the decoy.
He's actually an alien in a human body.
Fascinating.
Who's controlling the Mutos to lure Godzilla out in the open.
You know, I almost believe you that that's part of the movie.
It's actually a storyline from another movie.
It's not this movie?
No, from another Godzilla movie. Similar.
Oh.
Because there were a number of them where they were aliens who looked like people.
Yes.
Because they had, like, human skin. Like, one set of aliens, they were actually, like, apes.
Okay.
So when they would get, like, punched or, like, fall down, like, part of their human face would fall off and they'd be apes underneath.
Great.
Much better storyline, Richard, let me tell you.
So you did not enjoy the Godzilla. The biggest opening of the year. Godzilla.
No, actually, it's right in the middle. Right in the middle. It was Captain America was number one still.
Are you sure?
95. Godzilla was like 93. And then Spider-Man is like right below that.
I don't think Captain America did 95.
Look it up.
Really? I thought it only did 92.
They had, I believe it was on Box Office Mojo. They did a reassessment of their findings. But that said, I mean, the one thing I will say was really good, any time with Godzilla, even his adversaries, I liked a lot. I mean, it was very epic in scale, had a lot of great visuals, but it was so few and far between that it was disappointing.
So is the climactic battle worth seeing on the big screen?
Yeah, I'd say see another movie, sneak in for the last half hour, 20 minutes, and you're fine. You won't miss much.
Well, I want to see Bryan Cranston make blue meth.
He doesn't make blue meth in this movie, because it turns out that he got in too deep, and Godzilla was his distributor, and Godzilla just didn't like Bryan Cranston's attitude, so he killed him.
Well, Godzilla owns a lot of Pollos Hermanos, so
yeah, and he memorized.
He's smart. He hides his money well.
Yeah, he memorized how to do the blue meth, so he didn't need him anymore.
Well, you know, he kept stepping on the plant.
Right.
Because he's so big. It's Godzilla.
Yeah, so this is from Box Office Mojo. Captain America made $95 million. Amazing Spider-Man made $91.6 million. And, yeah, Godzilla
$93.2 million.
Whoa. So
that's craziness.
Quite, but close. Yeah, very close.
I'm sure it'll do well overseas, except in Japan, because that's kind of a black mark for them. They don't like that.
No, they said that Godzilla was too fat.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Godzilla is too fat. He's been eating the McDonald's food. No.
I do want to nitpick a little bit more, though, on this movie. So,
please do.
So this Muto in Nevada, it's in this nuclear waste facility. Army comes to check it out. First of all, a lot of government incompetency, because it's not listed where this potentially prehistoric egg that might potentially be alive could be. They just look from stall to stall to see if it's in there. Like, is it here? No. Is it there? No. It's like, I think that's something you'd probably want to write down. Like, we put this potentially dangerous egg here. So if you need to find it, it's here. That said, they open up this locker, this sort of like garage, and hey, there's a big gigantic hole in the mountain where the monster escaped. Did anyone hear that, or should the people at the facility have maybe mentioned that they heard a giant explosion and the earth shook? And I mean, that's weird. But nope, nobody said anything. I guess they didn't hear it. These guys are pretty stealthy with that sort of thing, which. Bugged the shit out of me. That was so annoying. It just seemed like that's something you would notice. I don't know, but I feel like that's pretty obvious.
Well, most of the people that I know that have seen this movie all tell me the same thing. It's just kind of boring.
Yeah, it was. And here's something else that sucked. So Godzilla's big fight, San Francisco, 2-on-1. He's fighting two monsters. It's Godzilla, mano-a-mano. Most of the action is focused on Milquetoast Johnson, who has to find a nuke, disarm it, and or dump it in the middle of the ocean in 90 minutes or less. First of all, they get to the nuke. They try and open it for like 5 seconds. They're like, we can't open it. Fuck it. Let's take it to the ocean. And this means carrying a nuke, you have maybe 8 people, nuclear warhead, a click, which is a kilometer, through San Francisco to the ocean, put it on a boat, get in the middle of the water, figure at this point you've got less than an hour.
That's just easy because they use the Lois Lane portal to shoot across the city.
Oh, you know, they didn't mention that, so I didn't think of it. But now,
well, it's a legendary picture, so I think they all follow the same logic. They all have the Lois Lane teleporter.
I see. Okay, well, Richard, thank you, because I did not consider that, but now the logic right there.
That's why I'm here, to help you understand plot holes in movies.
Thank you. Thank you.
With plot logic.
But yeah, and then Godzilla ends up kind of pseudo-dying twice in the movie. Mm. And it's one of those things where you can just tell it's the filmmakers didn't know what to do with him, so they're like, eh, take him out of the movie. We don't want him in there right now. We got something else to do. And also, he never feels like he's really under that much distress fighting these monsters. He just... I mean, it all feels pretty cut and dry that he's going to win. Not so that it isn't expected or predictable, but there's never that moment where you're worried. You're just like, all right, he's winning. That's cool.
Right.
He's never against the ropes, Richard. Never. He does get a few good kills in. I did like the second one especially. He, like, cracked the guy's neck open and then breathes fire down his throat.
Which, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. No, that was actually pretty cool. But I was disappointed because, like, his body kind of falls apart like this monster, so he's holding the dude's head, and I kind of thought, all right, Godzilla, he's going to have a bit of a swagger, so he's going to throw this head, like, out in wherever. He's just going to chuck it. And it's like, no, he just drops it in the water. It's like, oh, okay.
Well, you know, he wants it out of the way.
I was like, come on. Give him a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a dance move there. Have him chuck it out. Little victory.
He's going to throw West Side.
Yeah, I was hoping for something. A little
gang
bit of a...
symbols.
But you didn't get any of that. He doesn't dance. He does not do any wrestling moves. There's no leg drops.
Boo. Or,
suplexes. Which I was a little disappointed. Because, come on. Do a little something. A little something. Because there was one cool move, I don't know which one, where he literally like rides his tail and then slams his feet in like, the guy's stomach.
Oh, yeah, that's from, like, the original movies.
Yeah, from one of the original ones. Yeah, part of the original
comedy.
Wow.
Wow.
And that never happened, so I was like, come on. Do something cool. Something cool.
Well, I don't know. I feel like this movie's going to have a pretty big drop-off next weekend.
I think so. It was funny, though, that the crowd I saw it with applauded at the end of it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's because they're a bunch of dorks.
Yeah, I will say, like... the final stuff where he beats those monsters is satisfying, but it's just, I don't know.
Too little, too late?
Yeah, like, I really wanted one good, solid drag-out fight, and everything was very POV from the human point of view, so it's like if they weren't watching it, or if they didn't catch it, you didn't see it. And I was like, okay. So, oh, and another really stupid bit. So... they've, like, evacuated San Francisco, which, by the way, is the flattest city in America. There are no hills in this whole town. Evacuated everybody. Buses are leaving. Place is packed with people just trying to get out, trying to escape Godzilla and these monsters. And during the fight, you see an office building filled with people doing work. Like, just day-to-day work. They're not brushing. They're not busy. They're just doing work. And they're like, wait, what? Godzilla! Ah!
And they get killed.
I hope so. because that's just fucking obnoxious, man.
Well, you know, they're probably late on the Jones file. They need to get it turned in by 4, and Godzilla comes into town. It's not their fault.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. That makes sense. Another bit that annoyed me, too, was Godzilla comes into Hawaii, creates a huge tsunami. Then, when he leaves San Francisco, he creates a bit of a little wave that doesn't even splash over this pier that's maybe like 50 feet away from him. And I'm just like, come on. I don't need a tsunami in San Francisco, but at least have a little more of a tidal effect when he goes in the water. Oh, that was kind of annoying me. And then another bit that was stupid was the army wants to destroy these Mutos, like, immediately. But Godzilla, they find him quick, and you see his fins a lot in the water. But they never have any interest in killing him. They just kind of follow him around with their ships.
Huh.
And it's like, well, okay, so Muto bad, Godzilla maybe bad? It's like, come on, man. You can't have it both ways. You gotta be trying to kill this guy. Stage one. Don't short shrift us, David Strathairn. Get rid of this guy.
He's in that too?
Yeah, he plays angry army guy who wants to kill Godzilla.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but only later, not right away. Right away, he's like, eh, Godzilla, he's fine. Because that was something I was a little disappointed by, was there wasn't a lot of army versus Godzilla. There was more Muto versus army than Godzilla versus army.
Nah, that's too bad.
Yeah, which is a pretty big trope in the Godzilla movies, is all the army fighting, which you did not get much of.
Oh, I'm sure.
No.
Couldn't afford it. They're spending too much money on the Mutos.
Right, and I love these, like, they're like these stupid teases towards other movies, like there's like some cage or whatever at the Cranston household, and I think it has like a cocoon in it, and at the bottom it says like Mothra on it.
Cocoon? Is yeah. Steve Guttenberg in this movie?
He cameos as a Japanese army officer, which was weird.
What about Jessica Tandy? You know, she's been dead for 25 years. I think she's in Cocoon.
She is in the radiated...
She is in the cocoon.
She's in a radiated corpse.
With Art Carney and Don Ameche and Wilford Brimley. They're all in the cocoon.
Well, you know, oddly enough, Ron Howard does direct a few commercials that they slip into the movie.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. It's of a Godzilla-type creature trying to sell cars at a car lot.
Wow.
So it's a neat tie-in.
What the hell does that even mean?
I don't know. You're asking. He's in the movie.
I don't know.
And then, let's see. Yeah. Aaron Taylor Johnson's just worthless in this movie. His only definable quality is he's good with kids. That's it.
Really?
That's as far as you get with him. And also, he is a bomb disposal expert, which won't come into the play.
Like Jeremy Renner in Hurt Locker.
Right, except much more well-adjusted. Like, 100% well-adjusted. He's fine. No problems. No effects of war on this guy. He's cool.
Wow.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, for being a bomb disposal expert, he really didn't need to be one. Because they don't ever actually dispose of the bomb. They just let it blow up. And it's like, well, who cares? Like, that's not interesting.
How long is this movie?
2 hours and 3 minutes.
Eh, it's not awful.
No. And there's no tease afterwards, so don't stick around.
Okay. Did it drag, you feel like?
Yeah, because you're waiting for the fucking monster, man. I mean, I'm not here for Aaron Taylor Johnson. I mean, at least make him interesting. He's boring as hell. Gosh. Make him maladjusted. Well, make him pissed off about something.
Does he have cut arms in this, or is that just Avengers?
I don't know.
He didn't work out for Godzilla. He was too busy pumping iron for Avengers 2.
I just didn't really care. How about that? I don't know.
Oh, come on. He's a dreamboat.
Yeah, and Liz Olsen has zero to do in this movie. They could have cast anyone, and it would have made no difference.
Right.
Like,
that's too bad.
Yeah. I mean, I think Jessica Alba would be cheaper. They should have just gotten her. I mean, there's no reason. No reason. Just, ugh, disgusting.
And on that note, should we go to the bar and drink to the memory of Mothra?
Oh, please, yes. That poor Moth.
Let's do it.
And her twins. Yeah.
Well, here's to the memory of Spider-Man. He's dead. And now Mothra, he's dead too.
Yeah, they're all dead.
All right. Well, toodaloo, ass.
Toodles.